All right, let's go. The hands of Jesus is the message that we have today. And this one here is, I was listening to a speaker, and he just mentioned, it was like real briefly, something about the hands of Jesus. And I'm thinking, all of a sudden, it kind of just stuck in my mind, and I've been mulling this over about the hands of Jesus. And why would that even be important that this person mentioned it? But, you know, I think there's a whole message that goes in that with the hands of Jesus. So you're going to get it. All right. So let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the time that we have. And as Fern was saying, for your presence. I was, as Monty was saying, that he senses the Spirit, God's Spirit. He senses when he first came and to when he is here now. And it was funny. I was speaking with a couple just this past week. That's what I look for, too, in a church. It's not the way the building is, it looks in terms of the ornateness of it, or the stained glass windows, or the layout of it. It's not the nice carpet or the cushy pews that they have. It's not just the music that's there. It's God's presence in all of it. So I pray for your presence to be evident, Lord, not just in the music that we do, not just in the greeting that we do, but in all aspects of our service. This is what I come to church for. The blessings are being able to meet with other people, with my friends, and just to chat. But I come because of you. And I pray that everyone else does here too, so that the word that we have here today touches us the way that you want it to be touched. And this we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. So we look at the hands of Jesus, and my first thought is, who was Jesus, you know, even before his ministry and stuff? And people, you know, have said that, you know, he's a carpenter. Well, I don't know. Scripture says this. He says, Mark 6:3, isn't this the carpenter, referring to Jesus? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? That's what Jesus was. He was a carpenter. Whether he's working with stone or whether he's working with bricks or whether he was working with wood, he was a carpenter. And you can think of his hands. Because especially like a mason and stuff, they're handling this brick all the time. And there's constant wear on the tissue of your hands and stuff. And so your hands will respond to that in the sense you'll build up these calluses. And when you go to shake a person's hand, and you can feel those calluses, you're thinking, now there's a worker. There's a person that you just know gets their hands dirty, and they can't hide it. I mean, they can wear gloves and stuff like that. But their hands are rough. There's probably some scars on there, because no doubt there's a brick that fell, or a board that fell, or somebody was, he was holding a nail, and somebody was taking a hammer, and hammering the nail and missed. Just as I was thinking about it, I got 6 or 7 scars in my hands. I've got all my digits, which is pretty good, and they're all functioning, and I like that. But I've got scars in my hand, and I'm sure maybe Jesus had scars in his hand too. But those calluses that were there, he's a worker. And we don't know all of his story, but even in this small passage that we looked at in Mark 6, we can realize that he had a family, brothers and sisters. Right? If you count Jesus and you've got his 4 brothers, that's 5, and then they're talking sisters, so there's at least 7 children in that family, possibly more. But there's one that's missing. Right, he's the son of Mary, but who else would he be the son of? Joseph. Well, God, yes, I know, but in the family realm, Joseph is missing. So it leads people to believe that Joseph had died, maybe early, or maybe he was older than Mary. We don't know. I don't know how much older he was, but at this point here, that Joseph isn't mentioned, and he's probably died. So who would be responsible for taking over the position of the household? The oldest son, yeah, which would be Jesus himself. He had to provide for his family. That was his responsibility. So my guess, his hands were busy. Some of you probably come from some homes where there's a missing a parent, and how hard that can be, whether it's a, you know, your mom or whether it's dad. Sometimes even through a divorce or through an accident, it's very difficult in which to be able to take that. But this, the stand is that he's a carpenter. His hands are thick. And I know when I was working on the farm, I haven't had that lately because I'm not working on the farm anymore, but I had blisters under my calluses. Now, if you want to talk about something that can give some pain, right? Every time you go to grab something, and until that callus wore off and got that blister out of there, it was hard. And when we were doing the bales of hay, we'd always have a hay hook because our bales were wire bales. So instead of the 35-pound bales that's used with twine, ours were 75 pounds. And we would, you know, jam the hook in there. We'd grab onto you couldn't even hang onto the wire because it was too tight. So you grab onto the bale on this side and you would kind of toss the bale. And it was just heavy, 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 heavy loads. Well, having that hay hook between my fingers would cause blisters on both sides of my fingers. So I would have to move the hay hook to my other set of fingers. And before long, guess what I had between my fingers for these massive calluses that were there, you know, running the hay hook. And again, painful, but you always kind of got through it. And but I just think of the hands of Jesus, how callous they must have been. And then we look at some other things that Jesus has been doing with his hands. Is that in Luke 6:1, on the Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat kernels. Well, you know what they were doing? They were basically gleaning the fields. They're coming through, and they're grabbing whatever was left over by the harvesters, and you would take that grain between your hand like this, and rub it back and forth, and then hold it in the cup of your hand, blow on it, and all the sheath and the chaff and stuff would blow off. What would remain is the grain. So I'm thinking about this in the sense that his hands kept him from holding them out for gifts from other people. His hands were busy. That he would go out and find his food, even during his ministry time. Now, there's a whole story that goes along with this too, because the Pharisees were seeing this and they got upset. They said, how come you're not washing your hands when you're eating the grain? So I'm not implying that, you know, that the reason he's doing that is how he ate all of his meals. It wasn't. Many of his meals were provided for him. But in this case here, he went out and he was using his hands even in ministry. I think Paul was the same way. You know, Paul was a tent maker, and so he tried to minister to the people, but not tax them in the sense that he would work and make a living. So what I want to do is let's look at these are just ways that Jesus used his hands, you know, for providing meals and providing a living income for his family. But let's go to the ministry of Jesus and how he used his hands there. I'm going to go through about five scriptures, and you might find some similarities between those, right? But let's just see if you can come up with what that similarity is. In Matthew 19:13-15, it says this, then the little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who were brought them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Let's take another scripture verse in Matthew 8:14-15. Again, what did Jesus do with his hands during ministry? When Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she got up and began to wait on him. Let's take another scripture. In Mark 8:22-26, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, he put his hands on him. Jesus asked, Do you see anything? He looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home, saying, don't go into the village. How about another one over here? Luke 4, 40 through 41. When the sun was setting, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. And Luke 13, 10 through 13. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. So, can anybody tell me what the similarity is between each one of those scriptures about Jesus' hands? How is he using his hands? What's that? By touching the people, and through that touch, healing them. Now, let's go back to Jesus being a carpenter. Right? What did he touch? Wood, stone, you know, bricks, whatever it was that he was using to build things. What did he build? What's mentioned in Scripture that he built while he was a carpenter? And what he used his hands for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. But then when we start talking about Jesus' ministry, now all of a sudden, the hands, pardon me, Marlene, let me touch you, touching the people around him, right, makes all the difference. What was that?
Feel the power.
Pete feels the power, he says. But it's by touching that there's healing. Now, there's times that Jesus just spoke to. And again, the way he does it is all within his ministry, and it's what his Father has been telling him to do and how to do it. And he's obedient to his Father. What did Jesus build during his ministry with his hands? I like what you're saying. Did he build a structure that you know of? No. But like Pat says, he built a church with his hands. Whatever Jesus built prior to his ministry probably doesn't even exist today. But the things that he built with his hands during his ministry, they're still alive. And I think that's important for us to look at, because when we look at how Jesus used his hands, I want you to start to reflect, how are you using your hands? Are your hands being used to build things, or are your hands used to build the church? Are you justifying the things you're doing because of the things you're building? Or are you doing the things that you just need to do because that's what God has laid on your heart, to build his church? Now, the guy spent some time, was it yesterday, right? I have to eat my days right. Working over here, and you see some areas where Pete brought his tractor down. We removed some stone out of the way, and we put some more soil up and around and got those piles ready, got out and everything. And we're trying to, you know, make the lawn a little smoother with the topsoil that we've got. But we work together, you know. And the idea is, like, that's awesome to be able to do that, you know. And we do get along really well. And we just, it's kind of nice how we can do stuff like that. But the real ministry comes, and I really believe this in our men's tool times, is when we're sitting downstairs and we're doing a devotion, we're using our hands to flip the pages and to read Scripture and to reflect on God, that, you know, the work that we do has to be done. I'm not denying that sort of stuff. But the real work begins with God's ministry and allowing His gospel to be spread. So how do we do that? How do we go about in our lives? Because, you know, a lot of times when we touch someone and they're sick and we're praying for them, sometimes we don't see a change. We don't see that, like, Jesus was here. He just touched them and boom. You know, we know that they would be healed. If they were a cripple, they would be walking. Because that was, you know, Jesus only did the things, you know, the will of the Father. And for Him to touch those little children and bless them, there was a blessing that went through. Sometimes we wonder how we're supposed to do it. Not everybody is gifted that way to be able to do that gift of healing. But, you know, there's examples of Christ using His hands in other ways to show His ministry. So I want to look at some scripture that's going to talk to us about that. In John 13, 3 through 5, it says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and that He had come from God and was returning to God. So He got up from the meal, took off His outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Perfect example of what? Being a servant. Jesus using His hands, getting them dirty on someone else's feet. I mean, that's kind of an embarrassing thing to do, you know, to go up and get your feet washed. Now some churches have that ceremonial thing. But Jesus gave an example in terms of using His hands to serve others in a very humble and, I guess, you know, thoughtful way. This is Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself, washing the feet, the dirtiest part of an individual, especially there because of the dust. They probably wore sandals, and you guys know what it's like walking around bare feet. Hope knows for particular. She likes to wear no shoes in the summertime, and it's like her feet are black. And she'll wash them off, and before she goes through the house, it's like, I have to take my shoes off. Yeah, she can't take her feet off, but really, you know, it's like, her feet are dirtier than my shoes because it sticks to them. Sue. I never thought of that. I never thought to wash her feet. Yeah, I know. And she'll have it right there for me with a wash towel. I like that. I like that spin around that comes right back to me. Very good, Sue. I'm gonna remember that one. How long is it going to be before you're back again? Next month. That's what I heard. I remember stuff like that. Yeah. All right. So Jesus used His hands to be a servant to all. And so maybe that might be an example to us in terms of how we can use our hands.
Start at home.
Yeah, just don't pick somebody out of the street and, you know, go through. Let's look at another way that Jesus used His hands, all right? In John 13, 26 and 27, Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I'll give this piece of bread when I have dipped it into the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. It was an act that Jesus did. He gave bread representing himself, a communion, right? And he gave it even to Simon, or Judas Iscariot. Sometimes I'm looking at this as he's using his hands to get people to make a choice. To choose God or Satan. Your hands can help others make that choice. To be there. And it's just kind of the same in terms of how Christ worked. You know, I'm sure he wanted to do a lot of miracles in his hometown, but he couldn't because of lack of faith. But there's other places where he could do a tremendous amount. But what we're looking at here, we're looking at there's a betrayal that's coming. And there's the discernment of being able to recognize that which brings life and that which brings death. That our hands and the actions that our hands do may cause people to make a choice. And I can't imagine Christ knowing that as soon as I give Judas this bread, that Satan will enter him. How hard that must have been for him. I think Jesus loved Judas very much. But he did what the Father told him to do. To do what was right, even when you don't want to do it. His hand was there. That there was truth that came out. None of the disciples knew, is it I, Jesus? Is it I? Even Judas said that. And then he left. Let's look at this one here. How else did Jesus use his hands in ministry? John 20, 26 and 27. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. This is after the resurrection, and the disciples saw Jesus, but Thomas wasn't there. Through the doors, though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus used his hands as a witness as to who he is. You can see the scars. You can see the nail holes that were right in there. Take your hand and put your fingers through there. Put it into my side. By his scars, we can believe. And it's a hard thing to believe, maybe even in that time, because you get conflicting stories from the Pharisees who did believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees, which were all Jewish people, did not believe in the resurrection. And so as a local person, you got conflicting messages. Is there a resurrection or isn't there? There's this word that Jesus was resurrected. Is it really possible? And Jesus comes and shows his hands to those that doubt. His hands reaffirm who he is. My guess is that when we go to see Jesus, we're going to see those wounds yet. It'll be confirmation for us all the more who Jesus is and the price that he paid for everyone in here that has accepted him as Lord and Savior. How about this last one about what Jesus does here? In John 21, verses 12 and 13. This is, again, this is Jesus appearing really for the third time. The disciples have been out fishing. And Jesus asks, "How are you doing?" He says, "Oh, you know, they're doing okay, but no fish." He says, "Just throw your net off on the right side So they did, and they caught this humongous catch of fish with their net and everything. Obviously, Peter recognizes, that's Christ. That's Jesus over there. Takes off his cloak, gets out of the boat, and runs over to him. But look at this here. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. You know what Jesus is doing with his hands here? He's preparing a meal for his brothers. Yeah. And he's meeting and spending time with them. He's using his hands to do that very thing. And it makes all the difference. When they recognize him, what do they want to do? Just take their catch, what they have, and just share it with them and everything. And Jesus has already prepared the meal. He's got the bread already made, and the fish are being cooked. And they're spending time. So when we start looking at this section over here, in terms of what we can do, again, how is Jesus using his hands? What's that?
To serve.
To serve. What else is he using them for?
To minister.
Yeah, to cook?
To minister.
To minister to the needs of those. To remove doubt, right? That's what he's looking at. To show the truth. He's using his hands and he's fellowshipping with his brothers and sisters. And he's making it a commendable way of doing that, right? The guys didn't have to, Jesus wasn't sitting around and say, hey, I'm Jesus, you know, back, you know, from the dead and everything. Here, cook me a meal. No, Jesus is cooking them a meal. And we've got that. So, Scripture speaks a little bit to us in terms of how we should minister. So, let's look at this here in Ephesians 4, 25 and 28. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. So God wants us to be active. God wants us to use our hands, the gifts that he's given us, whatever that might be, a building or playing the music or being able to draw, anything. Use your hands so that it's not just for your own benefit, but that you have something to share with someone in need. Right, the stealing, what are you doing? You're doing that for yourself. You're taking from somebody else and using it for yourself. In this case here, what Scripture is saying, use your hands for someone else. Right? Take care of that. How about in this one here, in Acts 17, 24 and 25. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and the breath and everything else. Do you think God really cares that this pew right here, you know, was made out of oak and it has some, you know, carved sections out here on the outside, and that it was made, you know, either by a machine or whether it was made by hand? I don't think God really cares. I think what he cares about is what the pew is used for. That it's used for a place to worship. And though he may have blessed the person that's there, the person's name that made this chair, I don't think it's on there. Doesn't need to be, does it? Because God doesn't reside in a pew. doesn't reside in a building. And I love what you're saying, Fern. So it's like, it's His presence that makes the place holy. Not the burning bush, not the pew, not this building, but the presence of God in all of that. So when we start to look at the ministry that we do for God, it's not, we're supposed to do things with our hands, but the hands aren't supposed to get the recognition, are they? Who gets the recognition for the things that we do? God. Because God doesn't need a temple in order to live. He may want one, but not because of a building that's been made, but there's a body that's willing to receive Him. A body that He made. And so our hands then, if this is what's really important, is that our hands aren't all that important, but what's important is that we give recognition to Him. What our hands do needs to give recognition to Him. Let's look at this in Revelation 9:20, in terms of those people that use their hands and don't recognize God. And it talks about some of the plagues that have come on and stuff. And how about this plague right here? And he says, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. The things that they did were more important than God. They wanted recognition for the things they did, and they weren't willing to give God the glory. It was more important about what their hands created than about the Creator of this world. And Scripture says that they did not repent of the work of their hands. And guess what happened? I cut that verse a little short, but I'm just looking at trying to make a point here in terms of our hands and what we look at. Matthew 6:22-4, it says, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full, which is just the glory from men, right? But really, where should we get our honor from? Is from God, right? But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Have you ever done anything without people knowing it, but you get to stand back and like look at the reaction to that sometimes? And nobody knows but God that you did that one thing. Your heart really turns around differently because you can see that just by placing, I don't know, maybe like there was a time, I remember one time I stopped and I changed this guy's tire, you know. And I guess I'm talking about it. I shouldn't talk about it. But he was just so thankful. You know, this is going back when I was working over to George Seward's there. And driving to work, and I just changed the tire for him and everything. No clue who this guy was. And he just thanked me and I just left, you know, and it was fine. But I didn't go over to George and say, hey, guess what I just did? And go to the next church and say, hey, guess what I did? And kind of tell them, you know, I'm the tire changer of, you know, East Pembroke and stuff. And then it's like, nobody needs to know that sort of stuff. But when you do that, it's so cool that I know that that guy's day was blessed. No idea who he was. Never saw him before. And we lived in the area, so you kind of know the people. No clue who he was. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do God's work. Let this hand do the work, but not let this one here know. It's not about showing off. I don't think Jesus ever showed off in any of his ministry. He did some phenomenal things that brought attention. But he always gave glory to the Father. Gave praise to Him. Because, folks, we can't do anything on our own. I don't care how skilled you are in any artistic way. It means nothing without doing it for the Lord and doing it within His will. It brings us back to the last verse that I've got in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. He says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And it is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Right? So our salvation has nothing to do with what our hands can do. Nothing. It's our spirit accepting God's spirit. And that doesn't really involve. So it says, not by works, so that one can boast. Well, look, I've built this church. I built five churches. You know, obviously I've got a position in heaven, and it's going to be the second seat from Jesus. That has nothing to do with it. Oh, yeah. That has nothing to do with that. When we're looking at it, we're looking at it here so that we can't boast. It's a gift. And those that can receive that gift have life eternal. Not by anything they have done with their hands. But it goes a little farther. And it says, "For we are God's workmanship," right? "Created in Christ to do good works." So we're supposed to use our hands. Not just for anything, but for the ministry of God. And if we're using our hands for other things, then it's not going to glorify God's work. So we are created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We've all been given gifts. Fern, you've mentioned this before other times. We all have our own personal ministry. We all have something that our hands can do. Margaret, you know, the cards that you pass out and stuff like that, the little notes that you put on there, and the people that make those cards for those purposes, that's beautiful stuff. People are touched by those cards, right? That is doing His work. And you say, "Oh, I'm not really doing anything, I'm just writing a note down." You are using your hands to do the will of God. Picking up that phone. And I was going to say, you know, dialing, but it's not anymore, right? It's just push button and stuff. Sometimes it's a speed dial. And you're picking that up. And you're using your hand to place a phone call of someone that had been put on your heart. Right? Gavin lifted me up. And Gavin and I, we had a discussion about a couple things, too. I don't want to say what it was, but it was a very touching conversation. He was unsure what to do, and just by talking. It was pretty powerful. Pretty powerful. That's using your hands the way Christ would use your hands, His hands. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Sometimes we just like paving our own way. But we need to use our hands the way Christ would. Laying our hands on people, making a phone call, right? Sending a note to another individual. Maybe giving a word of encouragement to another person. Maybe it's just giving them a hug and saying that I love you. Maybe it's going to another individual and just listening. You see, God's hands moves in a very powerful way. It's not about building things, making things look nice. It's about building God's church and touching lives. Amen? Lord, I do thank You for Your word here today. I thank You for how You have shown us so much. Maybe how we should be using our hands. Make it clear, make it evident. Sometimes I feel like my hands need to be restrained. Because you want to do stuff and you just have to hold me back. And then there's other times you've got to kick me in the pants to get going. But just make it clear to us all, Lord, how we need to use our hands the way Jesus would use his hands. This is my prayer. And we do all of this through Jesus. Amen.